Hello and welcome to Homestead Hens and Honey, a beekeeping, chicken keeping, and general homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Gemma, and today I have a weird kind of side story. I considered whether this should be part of my farm story series, but I like those to be a little bit more upbeat, and this is just weird. So this episode is about two baby raccoons that appeared to attack or at the very least throw themselves at my dogs. And just to be clear, it's going to be a very frank discussion about extremely adorable baby animals dying. So if you want to just give this episode a miss, if that sounds like it would be upsetting for you, I completely understand. It wasn't exactly fun to experience, but it was very odd, and I did learn some things, so I thought I would record this episode. I know I've been away for 2 weeks. Thank you everyone who's been patient with me. I've been going through kind of a rough patch. I had some increasing pain issues that I needed to eventually schedule an appointment to discuss management and what we're going to be doing moving forward. And then around the same time, maybe because of the pain issues, who knows, I went through a depressive episode. And that was definitely a struggle. And then during that time, when I'm sort of struggling in general, one of my baby skinks that I've been shipping all over the country was harmed during shipping. And it's still unclear to me how this happened. I'm waiting on a response. But for a good couple of days there, I wasn't sure whether we were looking at a soft tissue injury that would clear up or something more severe, like a broken bone. Thankfully, I just found out 48 hours ago that the baby is actually doing really well now, clearly recovering. So I think what we were looking at is a soft tissue injury. What's upsetting, just aside from the fact that this animal was hurt, is that I'm very careful in how I pack these living beings to be shipped. And the only way I think it could have been harmed in this manner is if someone was purposely shaking the container, maybe even kicking it, something like that, that wouldn't necessarily show damage on the outside, but would bounce around the baby inside in its little container. So again, I'm waiting to hear back about if we can track who it was who handled the package. And I'm hopeful that we can get to the bottom of this so that it doesn't happen again. Also, while this is happening, Titan, my male breeder, pink tongue skink, who I've talked about, who had a hemipenal abscess. I didn't like the look of that area. I was worried it had come back. And so I took him in for a vet check. And sure enough, it was back and it was worse than before. We ended up having to sedate him so that they could fully clear out the area. And they had to actually do a small incision to really be able to get rid of all that infected tissue. So the poor little guy came back with some sutures, feeling very grumpy, and I've been giving him antibiotic injections and then an oral pain medication as directed. And he's doing okay. He's just obviously, it's obviously painful for him and I feel bad. He's not really eating that great and he's a little grumpy, but we're getting through it. And hopefully once we have finished the medication, he'll be a lot better. We did send the bacteria off to be cultured so that we would be able to say whether this antibiotic did the trick or if we need to try a different one moving forward. So fingers crossed that we've solved the issue, because this has been dragging on for so long and I just feel terrible for him. While all of the above is going on, I also have a friend who's kind of going through a hard time. So I've been, you know, worrying about them. And generally speaking, all of this just sort of manifested into me feeling like I had a lot of things to take care of and also feeling completely incapable of managing it. for a while there, I would just get up, do necessary animal care, which here is, you know, quite a lot. And then I would, I don't know, sleep or just browse Reddit or just waste my time. And I just felt like I couldn't do anything else. Some of what didn't help is that my husband went to Japan as part of a work trip. And I guess because I was already struggling, I didn't handle this super well. And I think I had a harder time than usual because my husband wasn't here. But on the plus side, I seemed to be on the upswing. And my husband very thoughtfully brought me back some cherry blossom honey. So apparently he spoke to the beekeeper, and this was during the cherry blossom festival that they harvested this honey, and they were pretty sure based on how they had placed the hives during this period that it was all cherry blossom nectar that went into making this honey. And it is very, very yummy. I'm really pleased to have it, and I'm sort of saving it, just having a little bit here or there because it's very precious to me. And I just thought that was very, very sweet of my husband. So that was nice. For a couple of other updates, since it has been a little while, my package with the New World Carniolan Queen that I installed into a 10-frame Langstroth hive has been doing well. But bees are bees, so they're doing things that I don't always understand. Like, they have a lot of space. All the comb that I put in for them, or sorry, all the frames have comb on it, but they're deciding that it's better to backfill brood frames with honey than move and use the other frames. So I've been doing some frame rejuggling, moving them around, trying to encourage them to move and use all the boxes available to them. And also just keep expanding that brood nest to try and cut back on this backfilling. I just finished a Formic Pro treatment. So Formic Pro uses formic acid. It's the main ingredient in things like MitaWay quick strips. It's usually a 10-day treatment. And the reason I used Formic Pro was we still are, within the nectar flow. And you can use it with honey supers on. So if they're bringing in nectar during this period, this is an approved treatment. But also it has a temperature guideline. So you want to use Formic Pro when the temperatures, daytime and nighttime, are between 50 and 85 degrees Fahrenheit or 10 to 29.5 degrees Celsius. And we had this perfect window of time for that treatment. So I went ahead and I used that. The downside of Formic Pro is that there is a small chance that it can kill your queen. So queen death has been noted as a side effect in a certain percent of cases for this treatment. I'm very pleased to report that when I went in to remove the treatment yesterday after the 10-day period had finished, my queen was alive and I actually saw her laying. Like, I saw her lay an egg, which was awesome. I'm now up to two hives. My neighbor, the one who is just sort of went kind of crazy with making hives and is now struggling to keep up with them, he brought me over a nucleus colony at 10:30 at night, which was interesting. So that was a late night. And these are all what I call Ohio survivor bees. So these are bees that they're descended from queens that he either caught in swarm catches or raised himself from previous swarm catches. Really, really gentle bees, lovely to work with. The queen's unmarked, so I don't always see her when I go in. It's very, very full and she hides a little bit. She's also a little petite, but her laying pattern is absolutely stunning. I mean, it's just edge to edge, beautiful brood. And they're already bringing in quite a lot of nectar. So I'm really pleased with them so far. I've only really done one sort of checkup on them after the initial install to make sure that they are settling in. The downside with this nuke is that around the top of the frames and along the sides where they put their honey, they've built some really bad cross comb. And as a result, I can only fit 9 frames into a 10 frame box. And this isn't a huge issue right now, but it's something that I am going to have to fix. I'm waiting for the brood on those frames to hatch before I start cutting a lot of that comb. It's all honeycomb, so it's going to be messy. It's going to make a mess no matter how I try and do it, and I don't want to risk any of the brood getting caught up in the cutting or the honey flow or anything like that. So right now, waiting for the brood to hatch, and then I can go in, I can clear all that off, which is good news for me because I'm going to eat that, definitely. I'm going to cut it all off, put it in a Tupperware, and that's going to be mine. In the garden, despite the fact that with my depressive episode, I felt like I couldn't do anything, so I had all these plans while my husband was away. I always treat it like a staycation, right? So I think I will go swimming every day and I'll do gardening every day and I will just, you know, go get fancy coffee when I feel like it, maybe go do some shopping, like do some things that I don't usually have time to do. But instead, I had all this stuff that had to be done in terms of animal and plant care, and I just struggled really bad to get it done. But despite how hard it felt, I did get everything planted before the cooler temperatures arrived and before the rain arrived. So we really needed that rain, and I was very glad to see it, but it did put a little bit extra pressure on me to really make sure I got all the plants in. So my corn, squash, pumpkin, cucumber, and sunflowers that I put in the ground as seeds, they've all sprouted and they're growing right now. The cucumber is struggling a little bit. Last year I used a transplant, so I bought a cucumber plant at the nursery. This time I grew from seeds, and some of them were eaten by, I don't know, slugs or something. And the one that's left is struggling a little bit, but I'm cautiously optimistic that I can encourage it to keep going. If not, I might just have to go out and buy a plant. But fingers crossed. And then I went to the nursery to buy plants for my landscaped bed. And the original plan was to buy them in groups of plants based on the design. So if one corner, say, was the design said, you know, 5 catmint plants around something like a shrubbery, it's called groundhog, around some 5 groundhog plants. So I went with the plan to get that and maybe a couple of extras, but I didn't anticipate how expensive they would be because I was a little late. They're all in like big, well, most of them are in big gallon tubs, so obviously the price has gone up. So instead, I kind of got a little bit of everything. So if the design said, you know, 5 catmint plants, I bought 1, and then I have a catmint plant that I transplanted into the new bed. Where it said 5 groundhogs, I bought 2. I had on there things like ornamental onions. It recommended 6 for the design. I got 2. There were tons of different shrubs and stuff on there to get, and I just chose the ones that I found most appealing at the time and placed them in. And so there's still a lot of space to fill, but you know, this is what I told myself I would do. I would buy a certain amount of plants every spring to add them. And also some of these plants are going to grow over time and they'll spread out and they'll take up a lot more space. So it looks a little empty still, but we're getting there bit by bit. And it was within a price range that I was comfortable with. Because I haven't updated in so long, I forgot to mention. The issue with our septic tank is that it's dead. So we are facing a very large bill to get that replaced. And so we are trying to, you know, save up, cut corners, be responsible when we can. Although honestly, when you're faced with a bill that big, it's like, well, what's a couple of $100 next to that? It just seems like nothing, but we will deal with it probably later in the summer. You know, the issue isn't like it's not backing up, it's not anything gross like that. So we can limp along for a while, but it is going to need to be replaced. But anyway, getting back to the garden, I had my flower seeds in the ladder container garden. Those are just sending up tender sprouts now. The roses have been blooming for a while. The mint is starting to riot, which is totally normal for mint. I noticed we have common burdock, which produces these really big dark green leaves, and it's popped up in various places around the property, and I'm just leaving it. I mean, why not? I actually quite like how it looks. It's not edging out anything, you know, that I spent a lot of time planting. It's mainly in overgrown areas where the chickens wander, so I'm just leaving it be. The borage has come back. There's such a great, reliable annual. And it's almost ready to bloom. It's just starting to produce buds. The bearded irises, they've come and gone already. They were beautiful. Funnily enough, they flowered in colours. So what I mean by that is all the yellow ones bloomed first. And then all the purple ones bloomed as the yellow ones were finishing up. It was very weird. And now I'm waiting on my gladiolas, which are, you know, growing tall and strong, but they won't be flowering for a little bit yet. The peony flowers have bloomed. We had our first big bush bloom. The smaller ones, I think, will take a little while if they flower at all, because they're younger and peonies do take a little bit of time to reach the point where they will actually bloom. But it was beautiful. Wonderful pink flowers, as I always did. I brought most of them inside, put them in some vases with a little bit of mint to add greenery, and they just make the house smell so wonderful. I've also been picking wildflowers from the overgrown sections of the property. I just can't resist them. They're such cheerful, like little, they almost look like white daisies, and then there's little yellow flowers, and with some mint, it just looks beautiful. It smells nice. I've been popping those around the house wherever I can just to bring a little bit of the garden inside. And speaking of mint, the mojito mint is doing really, really well. And when that is growing, it means that it's time for the first mojito of the year. It's one of my very favorite drinks. Super refreshing on a hot day when you've been out in the garden for the whole day. So I am very happy to say that mojitos are on the menu. All right, so with all that out of the way, that's kind of what's been going on here. And I appreciate your patience with me. You know, I might have to take a little bit more time off coming up. I will just see how I do. But I've always tried to be pretty transparent about my struggles. And so, yeah, it's been bad news bears for a little bit. But like I said, I think I might be on the upswing. So let's get to the main topic, which is baby raccoon attack, ? And again, you know, if you don't want to hear about adorable baby animals throwing themselves into the jaws of death, then this would be the time to switch off. I bid you adieu and come back for another episode, because this won't be for you. So I want to start this tale by trying to set the scene, okay? So it's a beautiful, hot, sunny day here in Northeast Ohio, and I am a sad, depressive sack of sadness. And it's taken me a long time to get prepared to go out to the garden and get anything done. And I finally, you know, managed to berate myself into getting out there, and almost immediately, as I'm sort of weeding and working around the rose bushes, my mood starts to lift and I'm feeling like this was a good idea, this was exactly what I needed. I've only been out there for about 15 minutes and I hear Dahlia, who's in the coop on the side of the property with her chick, it's just the two of them, I hear her alarm calling. So I go to see what's upset her, because we've got a new cat in the neighborhood and I've already found that cat kind of bothering her. So I thought, you know, maybe it didn't learn its lesson and it's come back. So I go around to look, and at first I don't see anything. You know, the grass is really overgrown in that area. I leave it like that for the chickens, and because it's a nightmare to mow until we have like an extended dry patch, because it gets kind of mushy. And suddenly, through the tall grass, right near the coop, I see these absolutely precious, fluffy little baby raccoons. And I'm going to put a picture of them, only good pictures, only the pictures of them looking cute in the grass are going up on my Instagram. So this starts out really well. I see these adorable baby raccoons and I look around and I don't see a parent. So I'm wondering if maybe they got left somewhere and they woke up and they're just sort of toddling through the grass and they're going to head back to wherever mama left them. So I whip out my phone and I start taking pictures of the cuteness and I'm cooing and I'm just like, oh my God, look how cute you are. Oh my goodness. And they're really cute. They don't look sick. You know, they've got bright eyes. There's no discharge around the eyes. There's no discharge coming from their nose. And they're kind of like displaying a little bit at me. So one of them is like hissing a little bit and like puffing up his little body, kind of like a, you know, a cat does when it's upset. And it's just precious. And I'm not blocking them in. There's the fence on one side, and then I'm standing near the fence, but behind them, almost a 360, but at the very least a 180, is just overgrown grass and wildflowers that they can disappear into. So I'm not cornering them. They have all the space that they need. And I'm just considering, you know, whether I should try and encourage them in a particular direction or leave them be. And I decide to just leave them. I think, you know, maybe they are heading somewhere that mama wanted them to be. Maybe mama is somewhere and she's just not showing herself. So I'm going to leave it be. And right now I'm thinking, this is great. My day is going really, really well now. I saw these precious little babies. This is great. And then it slowly turned into a disaster. So what happened next is Chappie, my male whippet, who is the keenest hunter with the highest prey drive, went to investigate why his mama is standing by the fence and cooing. And so what does he see? He sees the baby raccoons and he immediately loses his shit. So he's like barking and snarling, his tail is up, he's got the murder shakes, and he's throwing himself up against the fence. As a reminder, I have like a slatted vinyl fence, but we put deer netting on it to stop my smaller whippet, Luna, from escaping. So he's throwing himself at that netting between the bars, between the slats. He is desperate to reach those raccoons. And my first thought is, oh no, he's going to scare them. But I wasn't worried. They're on the other side of the fence from him. There's no way he can get out. You know, he's just going to be upset. And then with his barking, my other two dogs come over. So Luna, my other whippet, also has a prey drive. It's not like Chappie's, but she would attack things if she feels that he's interested in them, if that makes sense. So she's now snarling and barking and trying to get through the netting. And then my sweet greyhound, Kaylee, is barking because her siblings are barking, but her tail's wagging because she thinks it's a game. She's not snarling. She's not trying to get through the netting. She just thinks we're having great fun because she is a sweet, precious, simple-minded child. So this is going on and I'm like, okay, well, the babies are going to make a run for it. And if they don't, I could gently shoo the babies out of view of my dogs. Problem solved. No. This is the weirdest thing. I mean, I've told this to a couple of people now, and I still can't really believe that it happened. But what happens is the babies see the dogs snarling and like their spit flying, like they are viciously trying to get through the netting. And the babies purposely run towards the dogs. They run towards the fence. And I'm not talking in a display. I'm not talking about being aggressive. They are just completely determined to climb up the fence and get to the dogs. So I'm standing there watching in horror as these precious, fluffy babies are climbing up the netting on the outside of the fence. And the more the dogs try and bite them through the fence, the more determined these babies are to get up there. And at first, part of my brain is thinking, maybe this is a weird survival thing where they just want to get up high and this seemed to be the closest, easiest thing to climb. But as they reach the top where the netting ends and it's just slats, I realize that, no, they are trying to get to my dogs. So I'm standing there watching in horror, and my instinct is to grab the babies off the fence and get them out of harm's way. But I don't have any gloves with me. I don't have any protective gear. And my brain's already jumping ahead to, if I grab them, I'll probably get bitten. If I'm bitten, I will have to go in for a rabies shot. Or if I don't want the rabies shot because they're painful and expensive, I would have to kill the raccoon babies anyway, because you can only test for rabies by testing the brain, so the animal has to be deceased. So this is all running through my head, and so I'm just watching in horror, and I'm saying, like, no, no, don't do it, don't do it. And then one of the babies gets to the top first, and it looked right at my dogs and just jumped into their waiting mouths. Luna grabbed it first and shook it. It started screaming, and then Chappie grabbed it from her and finished it off. And while they were killing this precious baby, the other baby kind of tumbled to the ground, went under the fence, and just super calmly, like, it wasn't scared, it wasn't running, it just kind of waddled off into the tall grass and over towards the property behind us. So now my concern is, I have to get this baby away from my dogs. I don't think I can save it, but I really don't want it to bite them. Well, by the time I run inside, because I'm outside the fence, I have to unlock it, run in. I still don't have gloves, so I need to get gloves before I can try and handle this thing. Well, by then the baby's done for. It's gone. And while I'm getting gloves, Chappie brings it in the house. Thankfully for me, he went straight into a crate with it. I think he thought, wow, this is really high value. I want to be in my crate away from the other dogs. It's all for me. And the thing about Chappie is, once he kills an animal, he doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't eat it. He doesn't, you know, tear it apart. He just likes to have it, and he likes to parade it around, you know, like, look what I did, I'm so clever. And then he might roll on it a couple of times, and then he's done with it. And usually what he'll do, if I don't catch him in time, is he'll bury it somewhere in the garden so that he can enjoy it again in the future, like a creepy little serial killer returning to the scene of the crime. But I, you know, he's in the crate, the raccoon is clearly dead, I still wore gloves, and I got a plastic bag, and I traded up. So trading up is where you get your dog to release something by giving them something of higher value. So I was getting, you know, cheese and treats, and I gave that to him, and I took the baby raccoon. So the first thing I did is I bagged it up and I put it in the downstairs freezer. That's the non-human freezer. So it contains the rodents that we feed to our reptiles. And it also contains, like, any other kind of weird things. Like, if a baby passes away, like one of my skink babies, I'll often keep the body because sometimes it can be useful for my husband's research. I think we have part of a boa constrictor down there, and who knows what else. I definitely have, I had a bird in there for a while. I found, like, a dead crow when I kept the body. And yeah, anyway, so it's a non-human freezer. So put the baby in there. Then what I did is I called my vet, and obviously I get the receptionist, and I said to them, look, I know this is a bit weird, but I just had two baby raccoons throw themselves at my dogs. No one was bitten, and there's some very minor scratching, but it is very minor. What do I need to do? They're all up to date on everything, distemper, rabies, bordetella, you name it. Do I need to do anything? Do they need to come in? Do they need a booster? What? So she's like, okay, I will talk to the vet, and we will give you a call back today. So I was like, okay, great. So while she's doing that, I'm online Googling how effective rabies vaccines are in dogs. And the good news is that if you keep your dog up to date on rabies, even if they got bitten by a rabid animal, the chances of them contracting rabies is actually less than 1%. So that's really, really good. But obviously, less than 1% is not zero. I mean, some places I saw said it's zero, but others said it's less than 1%. So I'm just like, eh, I just want to know that my babies are okay. So do I finally get a call back, spoke to the vet. The vet says, let's booster them anyway. Like, they're not due for a while, but let's booster them to be on the safe side. It won't do them any harm. So we schedule that appointment to bring them in for the booster. And I also talked to her a bit. You know, she wanted to know how bad the scratches were. And like I said, almost nothing. Like, I don't even think they broke the skin. It was just red raised areas. So she's like, okay, great. So we're all set there. But then I start thinking, well, firstly, at this point, I'm shaking with all the adrenaline because it all just happened so fast and it was so weird. And I couldn't believe that I was seeing this happen. And then it was, you know, me worrying about my dog. So I'm shaking with adrenaline. But as I'm sort of coming down from that, I'm wondering, do I have to report this? Is this weird behavior an indication that despite the fact that they looked really, really healthy, what if they had distemper? I know that's a big problem here. Or what if they did have rabies? Do I have to report it? It just so happened that the next day I was going to my exotic vet for Titan's abscess. And my exotic vets have experience in wildlife rehab. So I asked her, who do I call? And she said, I would call the Ohio Department of Natural Resources because they can take a report from you or put you in touch if there's another body, like governmental body that needs to hear about it. They can go through it with you and let you know what to do. So I call Ohio DNR. And firstly, I was really amazed that I wasn't on hold for more than a couple of seconds. So maybe people just aren't calling them, but I expected to be on hold forever. But no, I ended up talking to this very nice woman and I explained what happened to her. And I said, you know, my concern is that these babies were diseased in some way, and that's why they did this completely insane behavior. And she kind of goes, well, actually, I don't think they were diseased. And I just was like, but this is such a stupid thing that they did. Like, there was no survival instinct here. It was the complete opposite of a survival instinct. And she was like, yeah, she's like, but here's the thing. She said, to me, it sounds like these were orphaned babies. And orphaned babies have been known to purposely approach dogs, cats, horses, people, even cars. Because they're just looking for mama and they're so desperate that anything big and noisy or big and fluffy, they will be attracted to. And I'm just like, but my dogs were trying to bite them through the fence. There's spittle flying. Like, this is clearly they were in danger. And she's like, yeah, I know. I know it sounds crazy, but we have seen this happen before. I really don't think they were diseased. You know, you can dispose of the dead raccoon body. The other baby that wandered off is probably going to end up hit by a car or something. But she's like, you know, if your vet said to do boosters, that do that, but there's no issue here. We don't have to test the body. I'm afraid that this just happens. So I thanked her profusely for, you know, kind of putting my mind at ease. And after the relief of knowing that odds are good that these babies weren't diseased and therefore can't pass anything onto my dogs, then what followed was me just feeling even worse about the situation because I just watched confused, sad, orphaned babies think that vicious baby-killing dogs were their mother. And so they threw themselves to their death, or one of them did and the other one escaped. So that's it. That's my story. And I cannot wrap my head around it. It's bonkers. And I wanted to tell the story both because of how bonkers it is, but also to say, hey, if you ever end up in a similar situation and you have to stand by while you watch precious fluffy baby raccoons throw themselves towards baby raccoon killing dogs, apparently that's normal. So you don't have to panic, but you probably should, if your dogs actually interact with them, get a rabies booster. And that's it. That's my story. I'm almost speechless. I honestly, why, how, nature is weird. This makes no sense to me, but here we are. And that's what I have for you this week. I am actually working on a longer episode where my plan is to go through the design plan for my landscaped bed and sort of write down what I have, a little bit about the plants that I've already put in place or that I've purchased, ones that I'm planning to buy. They're all native and they're either native and or pollinator friendly. So probably just a little bit about each plant for anyone who might be interested in that. I've definitely encountered new varieties of things that I didn't realize existed, and that I'm really pleased with how they look and how they're doing this spring. So I thought it would be fun to do a very plant heavy episode coming up, assuming that depression doesn't, you know, wallop me over the head again and I become a useless sad little lump. So hopefully next week I will have a all about plants episode for you with hopefully what will be interesting information. But until then, I'm just going to keep chugging along. I'm doing my best. And like I said, I think I'm on the upswing. So let's just hope that it continues. And let's also hope that I don't ever encounter orphaned baby raccoons again, because clearly it does not end well. And that's it for this week. So I will be back next week, hopefully. And until then, I hope you all stay safe and healthy and are enjoying what I hope is lovely weather. And as always, hug your hens and then wash your hands. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to pop over to my Instagram. The link will be in the episode description so you can see how cute these babies were, being the operative word. Okay, until next time. Bye-bye.